All right, I think just about our last order of business-ish stuff. Andrea, we have number 16 on our Hall of Fame things to play.
Welcome to the Hall of Fame History Project as we celebrate our 90th anniversary.
I am concerned about our future, not knowing how much resiliency is still within our organization. We have gone through the decades of having turmoil where it's resulted in there being splintering off of groups from within the same group and then coming back together. And we're at one of those transitions again, I think. And that is facing the reality that we're in a digital world, that we need to accept the fact. An example of that is how we are being creative with our conventions and virtual and hybrid conventions. And we need to figure out how we can accomplish a lot of challenges, financial stability, how to be more diverse and inclusive of people of different thoughts, beliefs, orientations, etc. That's the change that we're all going through on the national level. When doing some research for the Hall of Fame recipients, they all seem to have a common thread, and that was they wanted change, and they were not going to allow prejudice, attitudes to get in the way. And if they ran up to a barrier, they found a way to work around. In other words, they developed coping skills, how to address it. And the result of that resiliency and coping and flexibility, they have become significant leaders and members of the council. And we need to help maybe new members as well as the existing members and seeing as the reason that they belong to an organization of the blind and low vision, and that it's working together for a common interest and not as an individual's interest with an expectation that things will happen. That doesn't mean that everyone has to have skills or abilities to achieve that, but at least starting off, if they have the passion and the interest to pursue something that they feel is important to them as well as to the organization. And we need to communicate with people with newer technologies, not relying on the way we did it in the past, and that's the only way it can be.
My optimism for the future of CCB is based on what the leaders who came before us, our elders, were able to accomplish. Here are some of the difficulties they faced. 90 years ago, this country was in the midst of the worst economic depression in our history. Millions of Americans were living in poverty, and job opportunities were few and far between. For the blind, sheltered workshops that paid subminimum wage was the order of the day. This was long before the passage of Aid to the Blind legislation. Agencies for the blind were custodial and paternalistic. Their clients were often viewed as wards requiring cradle-to-grave service. God forbid that the blind would want to control their own destiny. Orientation and mobility training was primitive and not widely available. If a blind person got hit while crossing a street, it was assumed to be their fault. Now, let's review the communications options available back then. Telephone calls made outside your local area but within your area code were known as toll calls. Calls to other area codes were called long-distance calls. Both call types were expensive, requiring most users to keep these calls to a minimum. Correspondence via postal mail had its challenges too. Hard copy Braille does not lend itself to easy editing, something I learned the hard way in elementary school. Any handwritten or printed correspondence required assistance from a sighted person to read. Recorded letters weren't possible because tape recorders wouldn't become readily available until the 1950s. So, how did they do it? Through perseverance, grit, and determination. Many of our elders relied on spouses, adult children, and their extended families to get things done. They did what they had to do. So, what does this all have to do with my optimism for the future of CCB? Naturally, I revere our elders, especially considering the barriers they had to overcome. I acknowledge that a few of them had extraordinary ability. However, most were not all that different from our current leaders. Now, thanks to advances in technology, the obstacles I described earlier either no longer exist or are far less formidable. CCB must continue to adapt to the multitude of changes that threaten our relevancy. We will not allow these changing times to stop us from advocating for the blind of California and beyond. Yes, we are facing difficult times, just as our elders did. However, given the tools we have available today, we will adapt. I often find myself repeating an old expression, quote, "When the going gets tough, the tough get going." So, let's get going.
If you could send a message to future generations you haven't even met yet, specifically California Council of the Blind, what would it be?
Well, it was good. You know, I'm a person of the past. Well, we've got to strengthen our chapters. I'm really unhappy about how many of our chapters have gone away. You know, like the Compton chapter, the one in San Francisco that Martin Jones had, and the East LA chapter, you know, the ethnic chapters have disappeared. I think a lot of our chapters are not very strong. I think we have to work on, maybe this is a membership committee thing or something, work on figuring out how to support the chapters. I think I'm just about out of thoughts, dear.
Thank you for your time, and thank you for doing this, bringing to life the people in the Hall of Fame that a lot of us have never met and won't have the pleasure of meeting.
I do want to take a moment to remember Irene McConnell, another counselor teacher for the blind, for which we have very little information. You know, oral histories are part of many cultures, and I believe this oral history that we have created will bring together the past, the present, and look toward the future. I especially need to thank all the people who recorded and helped me research this project: Frank Welty, David Mendel, Alice Turner, Rob Turner, Mitch Pomerantz, Jeff Tom, Pamela Hillmetz, Mary Beth Randall, Christy Crespin, Roger Peterson, Eugene Lozano Jr., Don Queen, and last but certainly not least, Judy Wilkinson, who helped me conceive of the project in the first place. I have to thank my partner, Joe Green, who has been invaluable here, helping me with the production and the sound behind the scenes. saving me when I thought I would never be able to complete this project and do it justice. He has encouraged me and supported me. I am Regina Brink. I know none of us will be around, but I am looking forward to another 90 years of the California Council of the Blind. A bright future for CCB.
Mr. President, I just want to say that is the most beautiful production from start to finish. Very, very well done.
I completely second that.
And so effective. Very effective. Yes. The way that was spread out over the few days.
Yeah.
Extremely effective.
Hold on a second, Sarah. Let me jump in. Yeah. I don't know if any of us would have necessarily... I don't want to say we wouldn't have had the patience, but I think it would have been a lot tougher to have sat through that if it was an hour or hour and a half long presentation.
It's perfect the way it's broken up.
By splitting it up into little, 3 to 5 minute things over the last 5 days, I think was great.
Cool to just sort of meld this all together into like a documentary that...
Oh, yeah, we've got all the recordings, so yeah.
Yeah.
Sarah, you wanted to say something.
That'd be awesome.
I do, and I want to say something that's, I've been making kind of jokes about, our Hall of Famers jumping in and making some things happen and not happen throughout. And so Regina and I did not talk about groupings and where we were going to play these or anything like that. And it has all been, very appropriate. All of it. It's very interesting, the ones we played during, our session with Department of Rehabilitation. Many of the folks were counselor teachers or worked for you, and so forth. So I just really want to, thank Regina. I want to encourage folks out there, if you have recordings, because I know many people do, the Al Gill recording the Greyhound bus, that was from Roger Hood. I encourage you all to get those to us, because this is all important. And I think in a lot of ways we have really forgotten about, like Regina said, how important oral history is, because listening to folks and hearing what people have to say really means a lot. And so, it would be nice that, as we move through the next 2 years, we make sure that every time we have a Hall of Famer, that we have them do a little message for us or things like that, because we have to look forward, as everyone has said. And with that, I'm going to hand it back to you, Gabe. Thank you for giving me a couple of minutes there.
Yeah, of course. So that, Regina, you guys are not going to have to go after Linda Perel, since she was just became a Hall of Famer. Anyway, Joe, what were you going
to
say?
I just wanted to, number one, we'll say thank you to Regina. It was I actually did the intro and the outro. It was a pleasure for even her for giving me that opportunity and doing the recording and all that. She's been very stressed, but she got it done, and I really appreciate that. Second of all, I want to say I do, listening to all of our former leaders, and still are leaders here. It is up to, partially up to us at the membership committee to, cause that is a big, a concern even of mine. And, that will be a priority. Still looking forward to working with you, Sarah, and as well as with the membership committee to fix those, to see if we can come up with solutions for those issues as well. Cause I don't want to see CCB go down. I want to see us thrive.
Gabe, this is Andrea. Could I add something?
Okay.
I mentioned
to, we do need to, yeah, we're no, like 12:30, so we do need to wrap up soon.
I mentioned to Regina the other night, I don't want people to forget, we have that wonderful panel that was done in 2020 as part of the first virtual convention, and a couple of those people are gone. I think Bernice was on that panel, and I think that could be added into the archive of our, of our history. Maybe it can be edited somewhat or something. I don't know, but that was a great panel. It was at the Friday night session, and I believe it was in 2020.
Yep.
It was actually the Yep. So and we also have, it was 2021, and we actually have the recordings that, you know, that were made before that.
Right.
I would love to hear a recording, and Roger, you're going to laugh at me. I'd love to hear the little recordings of Roger and Bernice kind of bickering. Larry and I had the pleasure of interviewing them, and they would argue about dates and times and all of that. And it was so much fun.
It was
and
funny.
Is that Ross? Yeah.
Every time you talk to Roger and Bernice, it became a history lesson.
Even reading the program to them was a history lesson. I remember reading, you know, we'd call them and read the, you know, read the convention program, and they'd stop you, you know, while you were reading and say, well, you know, a story would come up.
Yeah. So we can get out of here at least by 1 o'clock and only be an hour or so beyond our hoped for closing time. I do appreciate all these thoughts, and definitely we're going to want to hear
hey, we have
more
a raised
of these recordings.
Hand. I don't know if you want to
several,
take it.
Actually.
Yeah, we've got.
Unless y'all want to be here until like 2 or 3 this afternoon,
yeah, guys,
I don't know that we really have time for this.
Yeah.
You know, I for one have some things I have to do this afternoon before I go to work tomorrow. So
yes, yeah,
try to do this.
Just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate it, but. Like I said, we could go to all those hands, but we would be here until 2 or 3 this afternoon. So, you know, definitely apologize. But if you have thoughts, if you have people that you think should be interviewed, definitely reach out to Regina and Judy on that. Before I give a couple of thoughts on closing, Lisa, we have one more door prize.
Thank you, Gabe, because I have to get to work in 15 minutes, and it's about a 20-minute drive, so thank you. our last and final door prize, the grand finale, is a $25 gift card and a $25 gift certificate for See's Candy, both generously provided by the Contra Costa chapter and Leslie Tom. So let me get the screen share going. All right, this is the last one for the convention. And our last winner is Abigail Vincent. Congratulations, Abigail.
Hey, Abby.
Congratulations.
Good deal, okay. Abby.
So that is more or less going to conclude our 2024 convention. 90 years. Wow. That's pretty amazing for an organization. I guess the only thing I would say about Regina's comment of looking forward to another 90 years, the only reason I would say maybe not is that you know, an organization, as we've learned, nonprofits are around to accomplish a goal. Wouldn't it be great if we could accomplish that goal and have complete equity and equality? I would love to see a time that CCB is not needed. You know, that we don't have to do all this advocacy, that we don't have to fight for rights, that we don't have to fight for inaccessibility or, you know, barriers on stuff. But I guess this is maybe the pessimist in me is doesn't see that. I think there's always going to be things. You know, and if it did, yeah, hey, maybe we just become a social, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could just become a social organization and just hang out with our friends and not worry about all those barriers and just be able to, you know, argue baseball or whatever. One other thing I wanted to say is, you know, thank God for technology. I think it was 2016 that David Jackson and I submitted a resolution calling on CCB to investigate having the option for hybrid conventions. And that led to Judy Wilkinson creating that ad hoc committee or task force or whatever it was called, and that I got to serve on. And as had been mentioned earlier, Rob Turner chaired for us. And we kind of looked into it in 2016, 17-ish, maybe even to 18, and determined there really wasn't any great way to do it at that time. Little would we know that barely 2 years later, we would be forced in, 2 or 3 years later, we'd be forced into doing it. And, you know, we've done, what, 4, I think, completely virtual conventions. In 2020, we had an in-person convention planned. We ended up canceling that. And within about a month and a half, I think we pivoted and had a virtual convention. And wow, we've learned a lot since then and come a long ways in the in these last 4 years. Last year, we had a very successful hybrid convention. And now we had a successful virtual convention again. So I, you know, listening to what Rob said there at the end in that last recording we heard, I think with where technology is and allowing us to do things like virtual conventions and having regular board meetings. I remember a time when we only had board meetings 3 or 4 times a year and they would last for 5 or 7 hours. You know, being able to have monthly board meetings and then going an hour and a half or so, maybe 2 hours. Just the way technology has advanced and allows us instant communication across the state and across the country and even around the world. I think that we have definitely learned to leverage that. And despite our dwindling numbers over the last couple of years, I do think that CCB is strong. I think I do agree that we have a bright future. And, as I come to the end of my term as your president here in the next couple of months, I'm not going away, as I said. I will look forward to working with Sarah and the board moving forward. And to working with all of you guys and to be able to work towards the goals that we all have. So thank you, everybody. And with that, I will declare this 2024 convention adjourned. Thank you all.